Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. Anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's good to be back talking Ravens football. I'm sort of loving it, man. Almost the end of April. We're just creeping along here, heading into May, but it's glad to be back on The Call talking some Ravens.
That's right. Now, we're getting closer and closer, and how do we know we're getting closer and closer? The schedule came out yesterday.
Amen.
Oh, man, what a great stuff. But before we get into the regular season, let's just start this show off. Let's talk about the preseason. Of course, they've got four games. The Ravens are going to open up Thursday, August 7th at 7:30 at M&T Bank Stadium against their Super Bowl rivals, the San Francisco 49ers. And then we've got Saturday, August 16th up against the Cowboys, Saturday, August 23rd up against the those nasty Redskins. And then they're closing out Thursday at the Superdome, home of their Super Bowl win and WrestleMania 30, by the way, up against the New Orleans Saints Thursday, August 28th at 8 p.m. So let's talk about just these games. Of course, these games, they're good to see like what the Ravens might bring to the table, what new guys are there, how guys are looking that have been training. But to open up the preseason against the 49ers, to close the preseason at the Superdome, you got to feel a little nostalgia. I know you got to feel that as well. I think all these teams right here are going to be like a good judge to see what the Ravens are going to be up against this season.
They are, man. I mean, depending on the matchup, any given Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Saturday, whatever day we play football here in the NFL, man. But, I mean, it's just going to be a great breakdown. I think it gives us a break from last year. Last year's schedule was just brutal. And just looking at the league, not only the Ravens, but everybody else in the league, we've gotten a break this year. And considering the team we put together, we're 8-8 last year. We went away from the postseason. I think if we had won one of those last couple games, we would have been there. And with the pieces we have already and with the pieces we will add in the draft coming in a few weeks, dude, I think this schedule could bode. I mean, we'll go break it down, but just I'm not going to really give my prediction till the end here, but this could set up being a nice double-digit win season for the Ravens to set the teaser there. I mean, it's just all around. I think breaking it down without really going to quarter-to-quarter, I'd tell you this right now. I love our bye week in week 11, and why? Because I've been hearing a lot of teams, especially I think the Super Bowl champion Seahawks are, I think, in week 4. And they play three games, and then they have a bye week, and then they play the rest of their schedule. And everybody's like, well, that sets up a hard grind because you start the season, the preseason is what it is. You kind of play these half meaningless games. And what happens, you get the bye week early, then you got to play all these weeks of straight football. And then if you have to have a deep postseason run, so it's almost like you're playing 4 months straight of football. And with the Ravens at week 11, it kind of sets us a nice break to where they play a good amount of games, they have a break, and then they play a nice good stretch down the home stretch there at the end of the schedule, starting November, December. So I like it, man. I one of the first things to look at is, you know, the bye week, and the second thing is to look at, do we have any primetime games, and who are they with, and where are they, and what's our home opener? So right now, I'm pleased with the schedule, brother. I couldn't be more pleased with it right now.
All right, well, let's jump right into this. Let's talk about the first four games here. We are going to be opening up the season up against the Bengals September 7th at 1 p.m. September 11th, it is a primetime game, and it is at 8:25 up against those Pittsburgh Steelers. And then we have September 21st at the Browns, another 1 o'clock game, and then back home September 28th up against the Panthers. Those first four games, I got to say, those four games are friggin' huge. I mean, look at it. Look at the very first week up against the Bengals. Last time we opened up against the Bengals, the Ravens absolutely whooped them, and then that whole season ended in a parade with a, you know, Baltimore coming out and filling the stadium to celebrate a Super Bowl win. And then look, just a few days later, first game September 7th, the next game September 11th, up against the Steelers. At least that one's at home, so there's no traveling to do right there. And the Steeler Raven games, they are always brutal games. So it's personally, I think it's kind of good to kind of get one of those out of the way, you know, early in the season. So these guys, because you always know that's going to be tough. That's always going to be a big, big game, and it's going to be rough and tumble games. Then you get the Browns and then the Panthers as September 28th, which, as we know, you know, Steve Smith coming from those guys, he's got a little chip on his shoulder, and he's going to want to show off against those guys. So I think it's good if he wants to be a Raven and he wants to stay a Raven, showing off against his old team. It's got to be a good feeling. So four games right there, right off the bat. First four games are all important ones, and you know, it's gonna be a crazy schedule. But look, the first three are division rivals. That's definitely got to be a factor going into the season. That's gonna affect the Ravens.
Factor, Brandon. I think it sets the tone. I don't know if I've ever seen this in the NFL, where the first three games of the whole schedule are against divisional opponents. And speaking of staying in the divisional conversation, we could, bro. It's we have five of our six division games before the bye week. And interesting enough, you said we started the season with the Bengals. Good point about we started them in 2012 at home on Monday night, and we ended up as Super Bowl champions. But usually we end the season in Cincinnati, so now we end it. It's really funny. Now we end it at home versus the Browns. So it's kind of like they still have that the divisional game at the end, but usually we have those two back-to-back. Now it's only one. But right now, I can't stress enough how important these four games are going to be coming out of the gate. Bengals, Steelers, Browns. What I love about that is just you're going firing right out of the gate, and we get to prepare. It's almost like we don't need to prepare for Pittsburgh because we know what they throw at us, and it's a short week. Being at home, Pittsburgh's got to travel here. It's not really a big deal, but it is a travel. They're not but 5-hour drive up north. How important is this? It's very important. I mean, you got two head home right out of the gate. You could be 2-0, you know, getting these out of the way and getting a 10-day rest and going to Cleveland. Beating Cleveland, I don't see any reason why this team can be 3-0. Or let's say one of the Pittsburgh or Bengals does clip us and we're 2-1. We have a good chance. And then in the fourth week, blood and guts. Steve Smith plays his former team, and the Carolina Panthers come to Charm City, and it's going to be fun. September 28th at a 1 p.m. game. I'm surprised this one wasn't a primetime slot as I thought, but I'm still pleased with it. I mean, it's going to be a good game. And with the Panthers, I know their moves and taking a step back. Granted, the teams have not drafted yet, so we don't know what pieces any team, including the Ravens, are going to add to the element to make their teams better. But we know that's why the NFL teams draft, to make their teams better for a run at the title. But man, right now, I see this team, barring a slip up against the Bengals or if the Steelers clip us on a Thursday night and catch us sleeping, this team could be 3-1 or 4-0 after four games, and I don't even see any reason why not. It's just hard to say because, again, you know, the Browns always play us tough and the Bengals play us tough and, you know, the Steelers always clip us and we had a close game with them. And being that they're at home and then the Browns are away, I think we can win that road game at the Browns. I'm going to go 4-0 on this one.
Wow.
A tentative 3-1, but 4-0 on this one.
Now, let me ask you, even though you're going 4-0 and everything, look at the first two games, September 7th, September 11th. That's very few days in between those games. Is that going to be enough time for these guys to recover up against the Bengals? I mean, I would be very concerned if we started the whole season with the Steelers and then went to the Bengals just a few days later, because you know they're going to be banged up after a Steelers game. Those guys,
right.
Those guys play rough just like the Ravens do. Is that short time in between games going to affect these guys? Do you think they're going to be ready for such a serious game like the Steelers?
It's going to affect them. Absolutely, it's going to affect them. How can you not play an NFL game and have it not affect you? We're going to have some injuries, but I don't think they need to get up for Steelers. It's just almost like hearing you say that, I just want to take it back in my chair and almost fall out, bro. I mean, get up for the Steelers. It's the Steelers-Ravens rivalry. I mean, the last time the Steelers were in Baltimore, we had the infamous sidelines, the 1-2-step on the sidelines, and we all know how that turned out. So it's Ravens-Steelers. It's going to live up to its billing. I think if the Ravens are smart, smart, and if they get out firing and if they can hold a big lead against Cincinnati, I don't even see any reason why they would rest starters in the second half and in hopes for an extra rest and to get up for Pittsburgh. And when I say get up, meaning that get ready and rested for Pittsburgh. But what also helps, it's a primetime game, so it's later that night, so it's almost like another full day. It's not like – it's almost like what they treated with the Thanksgiving games and whatnot they did before, and they won that one. They played San Fran at home on the Thanksgiving week, and they had a home game in there too. Last year, they played the Jets and the Steelers back-to-back, and they won both games. They played the Jets right before the Steelers did, and the Steelers came into town on Thanksgiving night, and we beat them. It's going to be the same way. I think you're asking about the element because it's a divisional game. It's going to be that much physical, and every game is going to be a must-win in the NFL. It always is. Division or non-division, but this is important, and you're right. I've never seen a Thursday night game and with the new NFL format, with it being so early, but I'm comfortable with that because get it out of the way, get it out of our system. At least it's not late in the year when we're gassed. You're just coming out of training camp fresh. We'll have the guys fresh. So I don't think it's going to be as a big a deal as if this were in like week 12 or 13 or as close to like the Thanksgiving holiday per se when it's cold and everybody's had a long grind and the bye week's already passed like it was last year. This year, I think it's going to be a lot different and it's going to be on our playground. So I think it's going to be bode well for us.
Yeah, well, you know what? With the way this year's going, it might be snowing in September. It still is yet to warm up.
You don't know with this weather, man. It was when it's snowing like the night before opening day by the Orioles season.
Yeah, it was.
We don't know what it is here in Baltimore.
All right, so let's move on to October. October 5th, 1 o'clock game.
My birthday.
There you go. Happy birthday right there. The Ravens, hopefully they're going to bring you a win. They're going to be in Indianapolis.
I'm going to go to that game. I'm already targeting. It's my birthday. I'm looking for a road trip in Indy, so I might be live on location. And might be. I'm probably going to more certainly be there.
That's good. If you're going to go to Indianapolis, make sure you take a Mayflower truck while you're going there.
Maybe I'll take something back.
Then October 12th, they are at Tampa Bay up against the Buccaneers. That's another 1 o'clock game. And then October 19th, it's going to be on Fox at 1 o'clock. The Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons, come to town. And then October 26th, which I think this is usually our bye week. October 26th, 1 o'clock at Cincinnati. So that the Bengals are once again going to be a factor here in the Ravens' schedule. This October, you know, this is going to be an interesting one. The Buccaneers, maybe not the greatest team, maybe give a little bit to the Ravens, but Ravens Colts, you know, with Andrew Luck, he is a great quarterback. We'll see how he has matured since they met the Colts in the playoffs a few years ago. So we'll see how that goes. But the Bengals, again, another division rival. So this October, you got 2 weeks where it could go either way, and then you got two really serious games as well.
Absolutely, man. If you look at this, I mean, this is the start of the stretch where the Ravens play 4 out of 5 games on the road right in a row. Mm-hmm. And leaking in this November schedule, that's the 5th road game. We'll get to that in the next segment. But if you look at it, this could go – this is where the schedule – they're going to have at least 1 or 2 losses in this month, and here's why. I say the Colts might trip them up. You know, going after Andrew Luck came here in the playoffs 2 years ago. He's matured since then. They've had some weapons. You know, Reggie Wayne is a year older, year wiser, but they got T.Y. Hilton. They got some good weapons over there, and they've also added a few with free agency. I see this could be a dangerous game. This might be a loss for the Ravens. Right now, we always say, you know, it's all opinions, it's all hearsay, because who are we to know? I mean, we can predict a 12-4, and they might be 9-7. We might predict 9-7, and they might end up 13-3. We don't know. It's fun to predict the games, but right now, I see Colts as a loss. Moving on to the Buccaneers, 2 road games right in a row. Bucs is a win. Going back to the infamous site of Super Bowl 35 in Tampa, Florida. I think with full confidence with the Bucs losing their players. I mean, some of their players, Vincent Jackson, is going to give us fits. Right now, I see that as a win. I think coming out of Tampa Bay with a win's there. So that'll put us at 5-1. And you look at the Falcons. I might change my tune, but right now I say that could be a loss. I know the last time Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco squared off, the same quarterbacks taken in draft and they're mirrored after each other. Obviously, people like to compare, and we'll save our comparisons for that week and our debate. debates, but just looking at it early, the Falcons could clip us and give us a home loss. That could go either way. That could be a win or loss. I'll tab that as a loss. Surrender's our second loss of the year, and then we end that month in Cincinnati, the second game against our divisional foes. That's another one that can go either way. So it's almost like you can flip-flop the Falcons and Bengals games where one could be a win, one could be a loss, or they both can be a loss. Those are the ones that I'm looking after that could be interchangeable. But for the sake of our conversation, Brandon, I want to lean towards a loss there. I'm going to say two straight losses for the Ravens there.
Well, you know what? We should have brought this up when we brought up the Panthers as well. You're going to see Ed Dixon come back to town now that he has signed with the Panthers. And then when they're up against the Colts, we're going to see Art Jones, which Art Jones, we know what he can do. So he might give some problems to Joe Flacco and the offense.
That's
right. So we'll see what goes on there. I think the Colts and the Bengals will be the two games to watch that month. I think the Buccaneers and Falcons could go either way. Hopefully the Buccaneers, we can take them down and come away with a win. But even though it's a divisional game, the Bengals, I'm more interested to see the Ravens versus Indianapolis, because I really want to see what they do against a young quarterback, a guy who's very, very good in that quarterback position. So I want to see what they do. That's the game I'm going to be looking for in October.
Now I agree, man.
Let's move on to November. On November 2nd, 8:30 game on NBC, Sunday Night Football. It's going to be Ravens versus Steelers. Once again, here we go with the second part of that doubleheader. This time we will be at Pittsburgh, so it's going to be a hostile crowd. Then November 9th, it's a 1 o'clock game up against the Titans, and that's where we're going to see our old buddy Michael Orr. He's going to be in a Titans uniform this time. Then there's the bye week, like we talked about, and then November 24th, we are going to be in Nolens, Monday Night Football, November 24th at 8:30, up against the Saints, home of our Super Bowl win at the Superdome. And then November 30th, 1 o'clock game up against the Chargers. This time the Chargers are coming to town to Baltimore. Let me just say, starting off just talking about November, I am really sad to see that the Ravens will not be playing on Thanksgiving. I would love to see the Ravens playing on Thanksgiving become a tradition, playing that late night game. So hopefully that does become a thing. But if you remember 2 years ago, I think it was around this same time, November 30th, up against the Chargers, that's when, hey, diddle, diddle, Ray Rice up the middle happened. And he went, you know, 4th and 29 and was able to get that first down and kind of change everything around. But here we go. We got Steelers, and then we got the Titans, the Saints, and the Chargers. Of course, starting it off, another Steelers game, always fun to watch, another night game as well. This time it's a little bit later in the year, so it's going to be a little bit colder, and it's going to be Pittsburgh, so you know it's going to be a horrible place to play. So we'll see what happens there. But interested to see what happens when the Chargers come to town. Of course, they got to deal with travel. But like you said, this bye week, you got 10 straight weeks of football and then a bye week. So I think they're going to come out fresh and be ready for the Saints.
I think so too, man. I mean, looking at the bye week, it's fit right in that. That's what I was talking about earlier. It's fit right into that month where it's a good stretch. I mean, starting at the Steelers, what I find unique about this schedule is, if you notice, apart from the Saints Monday night game, what I love about this schedule, notice the two primetime games other than that, they're the Ravens Steelers. I love that the NFL highlighted both games and said, you know what, the nation's going to get to watch the best rivalry in the NFL, hard hitting, hard slugging, and every time we get together, there's a controversy, there's a play, there's a call, there's a close. It's always within 2 or 3 points. So that's what I love about the schedule. When I first saw it, I said, I love the fact that the Ravens Steelers are both on primetime, and they're not going to get moved. I don't think that, and I think this game's late in the year where they don't think they're going to move the Sunday night game. So I remember the 1 year we were flexed out of that Sunday night position. So, but who knows? You know, it's all hearsay at this point, brother. But this early in the year, I'm going to go uncharted territory. I'm going to say this will be a third straight loss for the Ravens. It might be unprecedented, but like I said before, holding my words, the Bengals and Falcons game can go either way. But this could be a third loss in a row and a third loss of the year. Think that through adversity, they'll bounce back against the Titans at home going into their bye week, you know, riding high that victory. So right now we're at 3 losses for the Ravens, and then Monday Night Football. The Saints, it's going to be a tough place to play. Last time we went in there in 2006, red en route to a 13-3 year division crown. We went in there and smacked them hard, and then they came here in 2010, and what a game it was. It was 24-30, close victory, and that said Art Jones that got the winning plays and Terrell Suggs came up with some big sacks. So I'm just really, really excited for the environment. Monday Night Football back at the Superdome prime time. I do think that's a loss. I think Drew Brees at home is tough to beat, and I think he'll just be too much for us on Monday Night Football stage. So there's our fourth loss of the year, and then coming back at home against the Chargers. Will it be another hey diddle diddle? Probably not. That was once in a lifetime miracle play. But Chargers at home, think that's easily handled. So we get a win there. So I think November bodes us at 2-2. I think we can get out of there. We tend to play our best football September, October, and December. I think November's always been a rocky month for us under the Harbaugh regime, so to speak. But I think setting the table for December, it's going to be some good football.
Absolutely. I think this Saints game is going to be the one to watch in November, besides just the Steelers, which, I mean, that's always a given. But this Saints game is going to be interesting because it's after a bye, and it's on Monday night. So right. They have even more time to rest up and kind of lick their wounds if there's anybody hurt. So they've got over a week time to kind of just chill out, relax, kind of get back into form, because Sunday, they're watching Sunday football just like everybody else, and then they've got all day Monday to kind of chill out down in Nolan. So 8:30 start on ESPN. We'll see what happens there, but I'm going to be very interested to see what happens with Ravens and Saints. So that'll be fun in November. Now let's move on to December. December 7th, we will be in Miami. This is a nice warm game in December. Kind of interesting they're doing that. It's going to be Ravens at Miami against the Dolphins. Then week 15, December 14th, 1 o'clock, and that will be up against the Jaguars, and the Ravens will be seeing Tandon Doss again, who signed with the Jaguars this past offseason. And then week 16, we've got December 21st, 1 o'clock game at the Texans. So that will be in Houston. That's always a very interesting game, especially given the fact that now a couple of the coaches from the Texans are now a part of the Ravens. So that'll be an interesting thing to see. And then December 28th, 1 o'clock game, that will be at home up against the Cleveland Browns, like you said, closing out the season against a rival like that against the Browns. So that'll be an interesting month. I think it bodes well for the Ravens that it's going to be a little bit warmer in Miami, that they're going to be able to play against the Dolphins so late into the season, so they won't have to deal with a lot of that winter weather. The Jaguars, you know, that'll be an interesting game, but the one to watch for me this month will be at Houston against the Texans, because I really want to see what these new coaches to the Ravens are going to bring to the table and how that's going to affect the game in Houston.
You're right. I mean, I could agree with you on all points there, Brandon. It's going to affect that game a little bit, especially being warm weather in Miami, that too, starting off the month. It's going to be good for the fans' vacation. Hey, you want to start off December vacation good? Let's take a trip down to sunny Florida in December and check out a football game. just looking at this schedule, not to disrespect any teams, obviously no disrespect given any given Sunday in the NFL goes. I mean, the Jaguars beat us 1 year on NFL football, and we ended up going to the playoffs that year anyway. It was one of our four losses. It was an atrocious loss at that, but looking at the schedule right now, that game's at home. Dolphins away, win. Jaguars home, win. Texans game, I foresee as a win. They're not the same team as they were before. They still have got formidable weapons. Aaron Foster, Andre Johnson. You can go on and on and on. But I say that's a win, and then coming home to finish against the Browns, our last divisional game, I say that's a win. Over and all, I mean, look, if we look at it, I think it's going to be December winning football for the Ravens. I think obviously going through the schedule right now, we have them sitting at 12-4, have them losing three straight games in there, and 4 out of 5 right in the meat of the schedule. But that's just looking at the team and the names and knows who's on the other side of the ball right now and knowing matchups. But that could all change, and obviously, you know, later in the year, we'll refocus that and break it down week by week, and I can't wait to get to it. But I love the schedule, and looking at the schedule as a whole, Brandon, I touched earlier about the primetime games for the Steelers games and the highlight in the Saints game, but you notice one unique thing, and it bodes because we didn't make the playoffs, but every game's at 1 o'clock. So obviously for us fans, it's very good to schedule that, because you know that if it's not a primetime game, we're playing at 1 o'clock. I know the year we made the playoffs, and a lot of that has to go with exposure. You know, a lot of teams get the exposure when they make the playoffs. They're getting four or five primetime games, and they're getting the 4:15, 4:25 slots because of, you know, because you get that. You've earned that. You know, you've gotten to the playoffs and AFC Championship, the Super Bowl. You get all these primetime games. Where the Ravens that make the playoffs, they're feeling a little bit of the heat of that, which is on the flip side of the schedule, is we're all going to sit you at 1 o'clock. But every team gets its primetime exposure, and the Ravens are still a first-class organization in the league, top franchise. They're one of the top three or four teams over time in the AFC right now. So everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see Ravens Steelers, and I think a Ravens Saints matchup is worthy of a primetime slot. It's going to be great, especially us going down to the Superdome. Hopefully the lights stay on this time, but I think it's going to set up a good schedule. I was pumped when it came out. I was pumped to see, you know, me as a fan having season tickets, the first two games right in a row. You know, we got the first two home games out the gate, Ravens Steelers on a Thursday night, September 11th. We know, always never forget the attacks that happened that day. Another sad event that happened at Johnny Unitas passed away that same day. So that day is going to hold a lot of significance. And it was in 2011 opening season day, when the Ravens did play the Steelers on September 11th, and we beat them soundly, 35-7. It was no contest. So last time we played the Steelers on September 11th, it was monumental. And I'm hoping the black jerseys come out for this one. We'll see what happens. But right now, I couldn't be more pleased right now with the schedule. I like it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the schedule as well. I think there's going to definitely be some games for fans to get behind and for fans to really get pumped up about watching. But this is definitely not as grueling of a schedule as it was last year. And sure, this is a brand new team. I mean, we've seen a lot of moves. We've seen a lot of people leave. We've seen a lot of new people come into this organization. So this is going to be a brand new team. This is not the team that was around last year. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to finally get to see some football come August. But since the schedule's out, I mean, everybody's planning accordingly, and I'm excited about this. So it's going to be a great thing to see. Before we leave the show today, let's talk about the Ravens have re-signed Laquan Williams to the team. Interesting sign. They let him go. They released him before the season got started last year. He had a hamstring injury, and then he signed, I think, in November with the New England Patriots. I'm not really sure if he got any playing time with them last year, but interesting sign that he's coming back. Whether or not he's going to get any playing time this season is we'll see. Maybe he's just going to be like a practice squad type of guy. He's played a little bit, and we've seen him in the preseason, but he hasn't really done a lot with the Ravens. But I think this is a good thing, at least just for morale, because you know him and Torrey Smith are buds. They both graduated from University of Maryland. He's a local boy as well. He's from Baltimore, so I love the fact that I get to root for a guy that grew up in Baltimore, and now he's a Raven. And I think he's the only guy that played in M&T Bank Stadium at the high school, college, and then professional level. So what do you think he's going to bring to the team that maybe they didn't see beforehand? Or the fact that do you think that he's going to get any playing time this season? Do you think he's going to add anything to this team that maybe wasn't there already?
He's going to add an element of quickness. He's going to add an element of familiarity, if I can say that fluently. He's familiar with the offense. He's familiar with the organization. It's good to see him back. I think he's going to add a fresh look. Maybe he's going to take some things he's learned while his time away from the organization, and maybe he's grown as a person, grown as a player. I think he's going to own a new perspective, maybe seeing something out the outside looking in, whether he's watched games, whether he's watched the Raven schemes and saying, look, coach, look, players, this is what I've seen on the outside. Maybe we can implement it. Maybe this will work. And I know Harbaugh is always up for the players' new fresh ideas and that open door policy, say what you got to say. I love it. I love the signing. They always say can't hurt. It's not taking a step backward. It's surely taking a step forward, whether it's half step, whole step. That's everybody else's opinion, but I love it. Don't see anything wrong with it. He could start. I mean, you look at the addition of Marlon Brown. Everybody forgets Marlon Brown because everybody's hyped up about Steve Smith and Torrey Smith and Jacoby returning. But don't forget Marlon Brown's going to be a force in this offense too. And, yeah, Laquan Williams, the it factor, you know, does he have it? Most likely not, but he's got size. His hands are, I think, a little bit better than Tannen Doss's, a little bit. He's going to add another weapon for Joe Flacco. And then you add Dennis Pitt in the mix, you add Owen Daniels, add our running backs, Rice and Pearson, whoever we draft. It's just going to be great for all offense. I think it's going to be a great addition. And he's going to provide that depth we need. Depth is another key factor, Brandon, because if you think you don't want these guys winded, Steve Smith, he's not going to be an every down receiver. He's going to get some breaks. You want to give Jacoby some breaks, Torrey some breaks. These guys aren't machines. So I think Laquan Williams out there, I think it bodes well for the Ravens, and being a hometown guy, they always welcome any guy from hometown. I love it.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a tight race on wide receiver, so we'll see what happens. Like, you brought up Marlon Brown. I definitely have not forgotten about Marlon Brown. He was,
oh, who couldn't, man?
He was one of the biggest highlights for me last season. I mean, think about
that. We were
there. Yeah, think about that game you and I were at. It was snowing against the Vikings, and you see him making these crazy plays, and he's just a rookie, undrafted. That's what I always screamed at you whenever he made a play when we were there. I just would scream, undrafted!
Undrafted.
And he started every single game. So, I mean, this guy's definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think we're going to see if Laquan Williams does make the full roster, not the practice squad. We'll see Laquan Williams, I think on special teams. I think that's why he got a hamstring injury, so they released him before the season started. Jacoby Jones got hurt. They brought Tandon Doss, who they released earlier. They brought him back and made him a part of the special teams, and that's where he really made an impact last year. Tandon Doss really showed like he was ready to go, at least in the special teams area. I think that's where we're going to see Laquan Williams. If he makes any sort of impact, I think it will be on special teams. If he does anything on offense, I think it's going to be very limited, maybe when they're going to take some of the starters out and let them have a rest. But since the Ravens got to see something in this guy to let him go. I'm thinking they released him just because he was injured and really couldn't do much. To bring him back, obviously he's got somebody there pulling for him, and obviously the Ravens do see something in him, so they're at least giving him another shot to see what he can do, and I want to see what he can do too. I liked what I saw in the preseason games last year, and I was a little surprised that he was let go, so we'll see what he does. But if he does anything, I can see him on special teams definitely at least making some sort of impact.
You're right. Special teams are anywhere we can. I mean, that's where Jacoby makes most of his money or his highlight reels. Other than that big catch last year against the Jets, and he beat Ed Reed in the secondary. I hate to say that, but he did. Jacoby's made his living off of kickoff returns, and you're right. If Laquan can make an impact like that, it's going to be an impact nonetheless, because not only is defense and offense important part, but we have that third element, and Coach Harbaugh can always coach that up. It's special teams is always an factor. How many times has it won us games? Going back to the Super Bowl year, how many times has it really won us games being that close? So you're right, man. I just really hope he's going to add that element. We can use him wherever. I can agree.
Very cool stuff, man. So did we miss anything in this show?
Not a chance, sir. Not a chance.
All right, very cool. So if you want to talk football to Josh or I, make sure you tweet to us. I am at Brando Cash on Twitter. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet me at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. Now, thank you for listening to the call. Make sure you let people know there are many ways to listen to the call. You can go to iTunes or Stitcher or thecall.brandocash.com. That's where you get all the information about our show, and that's also where you can listen to old shows, new shows. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Go to brandocash.com. That's where you'll see some blogs that Josh has written. You'll also see information about this show and all the other shows we do on the Brando Cash Network. We are also on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/thecallpodcast and let people know on social media that you're a Ravens fan and that you listen to the call and that they should too. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, let people know about the call and we can continue to do this show. So that's pretty much it for the call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Always a pleasure, Brandon. Thank you very much. Fans, it's going to be a great ride coming soon, the draft. We're going to tease that. We're going to be covering the NFL draft. I really can't wait to get to it. We're going to welcome a fresh crop of new Ravens and new fresh faces here. Can't wait to get it done. But the schedule's out, so start planning your road trips. Start planning the bus trips, the booking the hotel. I really can't wait to get to it. We have Miami in December. Let's go, guys. I really can't wait to get to it back in December, but we have a long summer to get going through, so wait until the draft. Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.